Hello and welcome to What the F*** Just Happened Today, your essential guide to the daily shock and awe in national politics, brought to you by Matt Keezer. I'm Joe Amditas. Let's get to it. It's Monday, March 12th, 2018. Welcome to day 417. Donald Trump still intends to meet with special counsel Robert Mueller under oath, according to White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah. ABC News says Shah added that Trump doesn't plan on firing Mueller yet. Quote, "There's no intention whatsoever to fire Robert Mueller, the special counsel, right now," he said. "We've been fully cooperative. We respect their process. We're hoping it will come to a conclusion in the near future," end quote. Meanwhile, Bloomberg and USA Today are reporting that Robert Mueller's obstruction of justice investigation is said to be near completion, but the special counsel may wait until other parts of his probe are completed. The calculus here is that any clear outcomes in the obstruction of justice case might undercut the broader investigation. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein said Mueller, quote, "is not an unguided missile. I don't believe there is any justification at this point for terminating the special counsel," end quote. Next, the New York Times says Trump is considering whether or not to add Bill Clinton's impeachment attorney to his legal team. Emmett Flood met with Trump in the Oval Office last week to discuss the possibility, but no final decision has been made. Next, NBC News is reporting that the Qatari government chose not to provide information to Robert Mueller for fear of hurting their relationship with the Trump administration. Qatari officials gathered evidence of what they claim is illicit influence by the UAE on Jared Kushner and other Trump associates, including details of secret meetings. Next, McClatchy, D.C. is reporting that Ivanka Trump received $1.5 million in 2017 from three companies affiliated with the Trump Organization. Ivanka's continued ties to the family business and work as a special assistant to the president have created numerous potential conflicts of interest that are prohibited by federal law. Some Trump-branded developments have hired state-owned companies for construction, received public land or relaxed regulations from foreign governments, and accepted payments from foreign officials. Ivanka has been accused of violating the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which forbids government officials from accepting gifts from foreign governments without the approval of Congress. Next, the Washington Post and NBC News say the Trump administration promised to fund, quote, "rigorous firearms training for school teachers," while walking back its commitment to raising the legal purchasing age for firearms to 21. The White House also formally endorsed a bill to improve the federal background check system, and Trump plans to establish a federal commission on school safety to explore possible solutions, which will be chaired by Betsy DeVos. Meanwhile, Betsy DeVos, who is the Secretary of Education, struggled to answer basic questions about education policy in schools during a 60 Minutes interview. In particular, DeVos had a hard time explaining why public schools in her home state of Michigan have performed poorly despite the school choice policies that she's championed.
Why take money away from that school that's not working to bring them up to a level where they are, that school is working?
Well, we should be funding and investing in students, not in school buildings, not in institutions, not in systems.
And okay, but what about the kids who are back at the school? It's not working. What about those kids?
Well, in places where there have been, where there is a lot of choice that's been introduced, Florida, for example, the studies show that when there's a large number of students that opt to go to a different school or different schools, the traditional public schools, actually, the results get better as well.
Now, has that happened in Michigan? We're in Michigan. This is your home state.
Michigan, yes. Well, there's lots of great options and choices for students here.
Have the public schools in Michigan gotten better?
I don't know. Overall, I can't say overall that they have all gotten better.
The whole state is not doing well.
Well, there are certainly lots of pockets where the students are doing well.
But your argument that if you take funds away, that the schools will get better is not working in Michigan, where you had a huge impact and influence over the direction of the school system here.
I hesitate to talk about all schools in general because schools are made up of individual students attending them.
The public schools here are doing worse than they did.
Michigan schools need to do better. There is no doubt about it.
Have you seen the really bad schools? Maybe try to figure out what they're doing?
I have not intentionally visited schools that are underperforming.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should, yes.
A student who survived last month's mass shooting at a Florida high school mocked DeVos on Twitter, saying, quote, "It's unfair to put the United States Secretary of Education on the spot like that," end quote. Meanwhile, BuzzFeed News and the Washington Post say White House lawyers are considering legal action to prevent 60 Minutes from airing an interview with adult film star Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford. The legal argument behind the move to suppress the footage remains unclear. To stop the interview from airing, Trump would need to secure a restraining order against CBS, which makes it almost certainly too late for Trump to disrupt the telecast. The interview is slated to air on Sunday, March 18th on CBS. The New York Times and Reuters say Daniels offered to return the $130,000 she received from Trump's personal lawyer in 2016 in exchange for her agreement to not discuss her alleged relationship with Trump. In the letter sent to Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, Stephanie Clifford would wire the money into an account of Trump's choosing by Friday. Next, the New York Times and NBC News say Vladimir Putin suggested that Jews were responsible for the cyber attacks during the 2016 election when asked about 13 Russian citizens charged by the special counsel Robert Mueller.
13 Russian nationals plus 3 Russian companies did in fact interfere in our elections. Is that okay with you?
I don't care. I couldn't care less, because they don't represent...
You couldn't care less?
They do not represent the government. I could not care less. They do not represent the interests of the Russian state. Maybe they're not even Russians. Maybe they're Ukrainians, Tatars, Jews, just with Russian citizenship. Even that needs to be checked. Maybe they have dual citizenship, or maybe a green card. Maybe it was the Americans who paid them for this work. How do you know? I don't know.
Next, Reuters says more than two-thirds of House Democrats have signed a letter strongly urging Trump to enact sanctions on Russia and adhere to the law that he signed last summer. At least 137 of the Democrats in the House of Representatives have signed the letter, which urges Trump to, quote, reverse course, follow the letter and spirit of the law, and demonstrate that the security of our country and integrity of our elections are sacrosanct, end quote. Next, the Wall Street Journal says the House Intelligence Committee has finished interviewing witnesses in its probe into Russian interference in the 2016 election. The Republican-run committee is preparing a report based on witness testimony and thousands of pages of documents. The panel is unlikely to come to a bipartisan conclusion on some of the central questions in the probe. And finally, The Guardian, the BBC, and the Washington Post say Theresa May claimed that it was highly likely that Russia was responsible for poisoning a former Russian double agent and his daughter last week in the UK. The British leader said the poison was identified as a military-grade nerve agent of a type developed by Russia, and said that Russia either engaged in an indiscriminate and reckless attack against Britain, or it lost control of the nerve agent that it deployed. Russian officials called May's remarks a provocation and a circus show. And in the polls, Monmouth University's Polling Institute says Democrat Connor Lamb has a 6-point lead over Republican Rick Saccone in Pennsylvania's special election. Lamb holds a 51% to 45% lead over Saccone if the Democratic turnout is similar to voting patterns seen in other special elections over the past year. And now to the notables, a list of stories and headlines that didn't make it into the main update but are still worth knowing about. One, here's Steve Bannon in front of a crowd of far-right French politicians.
I can tell you one thing after going all over the world and observing this. In Japan and Korea, the Middle East, from Kansas and Arizona to Alabama, and now in Western Europe, history is on our side. And the biggest reason the globalists have no answers to freedom. Let them call you racist. Let them call you xenophobes. Let them call you nativist. Wear it as a badge of honor. Because every day we get stronger and they get weaker.
Two, Trump thinks Republican Rick Saccone is a terrible, weak candidate, despite appearing at a rally for Saccone's campaign in the Pennsylvania special congressional election. Three, some White House officials believe the chances of a Trump and Kim Jong-un meeting happening are less than 50%. Four, the White House scolded 4 cabinet-level officials last month for embarrassing stories that appeared regarding questionable ethical behavior at their respective agencies. And five, the Trump administration is studying a new policy that could allow prosecutors to seek the death penalty for drug dealers. And remember, you can find the links and sources for all of these stories, including the notables, on the main website. That's all for now. Visit whatthefuckjusthappenedtoday.com for the latest news and headlines brought to you by Matt Keyser. Until next time, I'm Joe Mdidis.